Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
Don't let your heart be troubled. Jesus told the disciples in the upper room at the feast of the Passover, "You believe in God? Believe also in me." Now, when Jesus spoke those words, there were plenty of reasons for his followers to be troubled and worried. He had just taken a basin and washed the feet of the disciples. He told them there was a traitor in their midst, one who would betray him. As he took the cup to share the Passover meal, Satan entered into the heart of Judas, who would later sell Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Peter, though, was quick to say, "I'll never betray you, Lord." And Jesus responded that before the cock would crow three times, he would betray him. Yet Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." I am convinced that when Jesus spoke those words, he was actually looking far beyond the small group who sat at the table that night of the Gethsemane experience. He was also speaking to those whose hearts have been broken and crushed by grief. The young mother whose baby is stillborn, the wife whose husband is stricken with cancer, the childless couple who just can't understand why so many have abortions when they desperately want a child, the youth who can't find employment, the lonely heart without a friend. Don't let your heart be troubled. Do those words speak to the need of your life, friend? Then he gave them a reason and a hope. He said, "You believe in God? Believe also in me." Now it was true, they did believe in God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had all worshiped the Almighty. It's safe to say you believe in God. You're on the side of the majority who opt for God, motherhood, and virtue. I mean, who can argue with that? But believing in Jesus Christ is often another matter. Why is it easier to believe in God than in Christ? Two reasons. To believe in his Son requires confronting the issue of who he was and why he came. This, of course, includes the sticky issue of sin, largely our own. And that means we either fall at his feet, claiming him as Lord and Savior, or deny him and turn and walk away. The second reason that it's difficult is that he is no longer seen in the flesh. A little boy of about 5 showed up at the table with dirty hands, so his mother said, "Now, before we can thank Jesus for our food, you go and wash those hands." As the little guy was walking down the hall to the bathroom, she yelled, "And use soap and hot water to kill the germs." Irritated, the little boy grumbled, "Germs and Jesus, germs and Jesus. All I hear around this house is germs and Jesus, and I've never seen either one of them." Well, the reality, however, is that the life of Jesus Christ is one of the best documented facts of history. There are scores of events with only shreds of actual historical evidence to support them, which are readily accepted. Yet scholars try to deny the historicity of Christ when there is an abundance of evidence to support what he did and said. "Believe also in me," said Jesus to a skeptical world. "Believe that my words are true, that I came from the Father and died for your sins. Believe that death is not the end, that you are not a victim of your heredity or your circumstances. Believe that your life can be different." Faith is not belief without proof, but trust without reservation. So wrote the Quaker scholar J. Elton Trueblood. It is just that easy, friend. Stop letting your heart be troubled. And when you do that, your life will change.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. Visit givetoguidelines.org and become a partner in sharing hope and encouragement in Christ with others around the world. That's givetoguidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for Guidelines for Living.